This podcast is brought to you by our Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. Order it at gracecurlyshow.com. Enjoy the podcast.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Happy Monday. It is gorgeous here in New England, and we're having a lot of fun. We've been discussing very serious issues. And Jared, you actually gave me an update. We have something to look forward to in the next few minutes.
Yes, the Pentagon is giving a briefing about the situation in the Ukraine. Jen Psaki just wrapped up her very informative session, so I'm sure Jake Sullivan and
Kirby.
Yeah, John Kirby?
I think it's John Kirby.
Kirby, and maybe even Face Shield Austin will be giving us updates. So,
when that
brain trust gets together, look out.
Yeah, it's a real, you know, just Brainiac convention. You can't beat it. Mensa convention.
Person's a convention.
Yes, and we look forward to that. Hopefully there'll be some answers. Not so many answers like Joe Biden gave. Those were too many answers, but hopefully they can tell us something. We know how well they handled it when they were trying to get people out of Afghanistan. So if I were...
Hey, that was the largest airlift ever. That was a huge success.
That was historic.
Come on, historic.
That was another day you could take off your mask because it was a historic day. No, but on a serious note, I hope everyone in Ukraine is okay, especially all those Americans who have to get out now and get their own commercial flights. Scary, scary stuff.
Well, Don Trump Jr. just tweeted, seriously, are Hunter's shady AF dealings in the Ukraine going to get us into a war now?
I know, and I was reading, I didn't even want to go down this road here, but when I was reading Margo Cleveland's piece from The Federalist, she was talking about, all right, so if we look at this through the lens of how the left looked at 4 years under Trump, as in anything you do, any decision you make as with foreign policy means that you are somehow in bed with Putin or in bed with XYZ, anyone, insert anyone's name, it's because they have compromise or they have blackmail. This was a serious way of thinking for the left. They really thought that everything had to do with Trump is compromised, and that's why he's making all of the decisions he's making. I don't think I'll be able to find the exact piece here that I'm looking for. But in part of it that kind of made me wonder is, okay, so if we look at it through that lens and we say, all right, they have blackmail on, Russia has blackmail on Hunter Biden. Like, I'm just saying hypothetically, which I'm not even worried about saying it hypothetically because they said it about Trump so often. They said it as if it was a real thing. But when you look at what we know about Hunter Biden, there was a situation where he was with a prostitute and she asked him about these Russian men who took his laptop or something. And she said, are you afraid they're going to blackmail you? And he said, oh, yeah, that could be the case. Paraphrasing, but there were, you know, those were the actors involved. And so I'm thinking, oh, well, that could kind of make sense why Joe Biden does what he does if he thought they had blackmail on Hunter. But then I thought, what kind of blackmail could be worse than everything we've already seen? You know, and I really mean that when you look at the laptop, which I've been told is not Russian disinformation, despite what NPR tried to warn me about. When you look at the photos of him in the tub with the crack pipe or, you know, the ones where he's in a bathing suit, I don't even want to go into it because if anyone's having a late lunch, then I don't want to ruin it for them. But what do they have that's beyond that? You know what I mean? Like, it's because, and even if they did have it, even in a world where Russia, Putin has blackmail on Hunter Biden or on Joe Biden, Why would they even care? It's not like the mainstream media is going to talk about it. They'll debunk it before it even hits the presses. So who cares? That's the part of it that doesn't make sense for me. Like, what kind of bombshell are they hiding that we haven't already seen and not cared about as a country?
The real question is, what is Raytheon holding over these people?
Yeah. There's a lot of questions, not a lot of answers. Andrea, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Andrea.
Hi, Grace. Listen, everybody needs to hear this really clearly. I was born in 1953, so I've lived through a lot of war periods. Joe Biden wants a war. He's so in the tank, he's so bad, his ratings are so low that he needs to deflect from his failure as a president and have something that he thinks will coalesce the country around this, quote, cause. We have zero interest in the Ukraine, zero interest. They are going, I said this to my son yesterday, he's got two small children, he didn't believe me. I said they're going to send some troops in and it's going to escalate from there and it's going to go for 20 or 30 or 40 years. Here's my advice, if you are young, if you have small children, if you have small grandchildren, any grandchildren, get those kids a medical problem and get it on their record so the service will not take them. That may sound terribly un-American, but this is not a just war. And that's really important to understand, and we've had enough of that. I had more friends come back totally messed up from Vietnam. I cannot count them on my hands. We cannot let this happen to a new generation of young people. May God as my witness, do it and protect the next generation.
I'm really hoping, Andrea, and I appreciate the call, I'm really hoping that it doesn't get to that point. Like you said, we have no interest in the Ukraine. Barack Obama said that himself when he was president. And I think people will see through it if Joe Biden just wants to do this as a shiny object. I don't think Americans have the appetite for that right now with everything else that's going on. Ronnie, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Ronnie.
Hey, Grace. Thanks for taking the call. I don't know what kind of help Joe Biden expects from our NATO allies because they're so hopelessly dependent on Russian oil. And that was one of the biggest things that Trump saw way in advance. He went right over to our NATO allies and told them to their face, you've got $250 million for this state-of-the-art facility I'm speaking to you in, but you can't pay your fair share? Unacceptable. He went right over to Germany and told Merkel to her face, we have all these military assets here to protect you from Russia while you're getting into bed buying their oil? Unacceptable. And now, you know, we've got a situation like this where how much do we really expect our NATO allies to move with us? You know, because all Russia has to do is slap an embargo on them, on their oil, and they're out of the game. And Biden shut down all the pipelines that Trump had open, so Europe could have bought their energy from us. Yeah, I mean, you know, this is no situational awareness whatsoever from this president. And like your two previous callers said, Ukraine is an irredeemably corrupt and failed state. It would mean nothing to us if Russia took it. It would mean nothing to us. But it would mean everything to Russian casualties to defend it because we'd probably be going in alone because Europe's just not going to help us too much. They need the oil too much from Russia. Am I wrong?
No, well said, Ronnie. I think you hit the nail on the head. And I think that's how a lot of people feel. In fact, a lot of conservative commentators were warning about this for months. And especially when Joe Biden lifted the sanctions off of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, you could see the writing on the wall then, because that was a boneheaded move, even for Joe Biden, even considering all the other bad moves he's made.
And to the point both of our last two callers made, this question was asked to Jen Psaki not too long ago.
Last year, more than 60% of the alliance's 30 members, including half of the Bucharest 9 that are right near Russia there, failed to meet that their 2% GDP spending commitment. If Europeans aren't willing to expend blood and treasure on their self-defense, why should Americans be expected to do so?
Well, we are continuing to advocate for all members to reach the 2% goal. That has been the president's position since he was the vice president.
And you know what other part of this doesn't make any sense at all? Is that Joe Biden, when it came to Afghanistan, his only excuse for why there was such chaos and why we lost 13 U.S. service members was that we don't need to be sending people to Afghanistan for this war that's never ending. And even though that's not what people were arguing, people were a lot of people agreed with that sentiment. People were saying, yeah, but that's no excuse to have it end like this, to give them $86 billion, to give the Taliban $86 billion in weapons. But now, if this administration wants to argue that this is our responsibility, that's going to be a really hard sell. Because if anything, we had more responsibility in Afghanistan. We had translators, we had Americans over there who we gave our word and we betrayed them. So now you're going to try to turn around and tell the same Americans who just witnessed this a few months ago that we have a real responsibility to defend defend Ukraine. I don't think anyone's going to buy that. That's a hard sell. And Joe Biden's not a good salesman, in case anyone's catching this late. He doesn't make a very good case.
You're a lying, dark-faced pony soldier.
When we get back, I want to do a journalism in the news real quick, and we'll keep taking your calls. Great calls today. It's 844-500-4242. You know, there's an old expression that Marilyn Monroe once said. She said, diamonds are a girl's best friend, and she was not wrong. If you're like me, you've always wanted diamond stud earrings. This was something that was on my checklist or on, you know, my dream, my goal list for a very long time. But the price was always a problem, and the fear of losing them stopped me. Who can forget that famous scene from the Kardashians when Kim lost her diamond earring in the ocean? You don't want to be in that situation. Now, I have a solution. You can get a stunning 1-carat diamond alternative pair for only $79. Each earring is 1 carat, making it a total of 2 for only $79. The quality is amazing. I'm actually wearing them right now. I'm going to lift up my headphones so you can see them. Each earring is 1 carat. A regular diamond has 58 facets, but the Diamond Excel has 106. This gives you more sparkle, more brilliance, and more beauty than a genuine diamond. I'm wearing them right now. I can't believe how real they look. I get compliments everywhere I go. And these earrings are made by Eden Pure's sister company, Lindenwold Fine Jewelers. And they're a wonderful choice, especially coming up. We have Valentine's Day coming up. You might have a birthday coming up for someone. They come in a beautiful black velvet gift box. Men, be the star of this Valentine's Day and surprise her with a pair. Ladies, get the pair you've always wanted. This offer is only good for this week, and shipping is guaranteed before Valentine's Day. Go to diamondexcel.com and save $120 with code word GRACEDIAMOND. I'm going to show you guys them one more time because I really do love these earrings. Shipping is free. That's diamondexcel.com. Code word Grace Diamond. We'll be right back with more of your calls. 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Today's poll question is brought to you by Gold Co. You can trust the team at Gold Co., especially in these uncertain times, to help protect and grow your wealth. Go to goldco.com/grace to request your free Protecting Your Wealth kit that uncovers the secrets that your financial advisor won't tell you. That's goldco.com/grace. Jared Diglio, my producer, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Do liberals suddenly questioning the pandemic response deserve praise? Yes, welcome aboard, or no, where were you years ago?
No, in the words of JoJo, one of my favorite musicians, it's just a little too late.
No, where were you years ago is polling at 86%, 14% for yes, welcome aboard.
And I do give praise to certain liberals who spoke out earlier, like Bill Maher. He was kind of one of the first liberals I saw to say, wait a second, I'm going to these red states and we're having a good time. I'm going to these blue states. Everyone's petrified. But now we know so much more. We have so many people have been brutalized for voicing an opinion that goes opposite the science. And so now liberals want to look for the exit ramp when for years now they have mocked and ridiculed anyone else who tried to do that. So no, I think you're a little late. I want to read this piece, though. And I promise we will do journalism in the news in the next segment. I know I keep teasing that. I have not forgotten. But I got this piece sent to me this morning from Howie. It's from the Montreal Gazette. And I have to read this because it's the typical liberal viewpoint of I want to go to Florida, but I'm going to criticize Florida at the same time. This is like Montreal's AOC, okay? Florida feels like another planet compared to Quebec. I have a confession to make. I recently fled Quebec for a week, a refugee from the curfew and confinement rules. A friend told me about an available condo in Florida. My wife and I made a last-second decision to briefly escape and work remotely. But the second we landed, it felt like we'd arrived on another planet. While Quebec is in full... Actually, you know what, Jerry? We might need some scary music. Take your time. I'll keep reading. See if you can come up with some suspenseful music for me. While Quebec is in full confinement mode, Florida is cowboy land. How fun does cowboy land sound? That to me, that's Florida. That should be Florida's new name, cowboy land. Where you barely know COVID is happening, despite much higher new case and hospitalization rates than ours. It's lunacy by Canadian standards, but it's an eye-opening experience. For starters, everyone's out and about, filling bars, restaurants, movies, gyms, and jam-packed sports arenas. Stores and supermarkets don't require masks, but some cashiers and customers wear them, though often under their nose or chin, Florida style. It seems a way of announcing, "Look, I'm masked," when they're not. Restaurants are fully open, and peeking into some, they're mobbed. Waiters can choose whether to wear masks, and at least half don't. In ever-friendly America, some customers even shake hands with their waiters before leaving to say, "Thanks, I'll have some germs for dessert." It's easy to spot Canadians at restaurants, as we're the only ones properly masked and nervously sitting on the terrace, even in the rain. You can see the difference in the media, too. In Quebec, in Quebec, COVID totally dominates the news because there's almost nothing else happening. And then he goes on to talk about the Miami Herald and how they're talking about other things. It's hard to make this stuff up. Meanwhile, in La Presse the same day, the top six stories were about COVID. By any measure, Florida life seems surreal, as if everyone's wearing blinders and trying not to notice a disease that's killed more than 63,000 Floridians. That's about twice as many deaths as in all of Canada. It's health madness, but there's a psychological upside. Since COVID doesn't dominate all life like here, we Montrealers live in a tense, depressing pandemic bubble. In Florida, entire conversations happen without the C word being mentioned, unless you bring it up, which of course I did. Of course. I asked a group of about 760-somethings I met at a restaurant terrace how they felt about Florida's non-existent pandemic rules. Every last one said they loved how Florida handles things. In the words of one woman, our philosophy here is, I look after myself and you look after yourself. If you want to wear a mask, you should. If you don't want to go to a restaurant, you shouldn't. When I asked about our collective responsibility to protect others, she shrugged and said, that's just not how we think. It's a tale of two worlds. Like most Canadians, I still think collective safety trumps some individual rights, but I prefer something between the cowboy individualism of Florida and the heavy-handed rules of Quebec during this fifth wave. Our curfew was lifted, but we still can't legally invite anyone into our home, while other Western countries and Canadian provinces allow from 5 to 20 guests. He goes on to say he was getting a COVID test at a pharmacy and everyone was wearing masks. And the last line is, for the first time, it felt a bit like home. If it's that bad, dude, why are you visiting? Do you see how insane that is that you're criticizing? It's like, if you don't love it, leave it.
Go back to your igloo, eh, you hoser?
What's the song Howie always sings? If you don't love it, leave it, blah, blah, blah. No, it's a country song. Hoss. It involves Hoss. Let this message that I'm singing be a warning.
Sorry, cowboy I can't help you land. On that one.
cowboy land, but this dude ain't no cowboy. All right, we will be back with journalism in the news. I pinky promise. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song that I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down a country horse, you're walking on the fighting side of me.
Merle Haggard. That's how you know that Howie Carr has truly had an effect on me and my musical taste. Because that was the song that came to mind for me. When this person from Quebec is bashing the people in Florida for having a good time while he is visiting Florida. If it's so bad, if it's so dangerous, why are you here? And that goes for Eric Swalwell and Nancy Pelosi and Don Lemon and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. If it is the worst place, if it is hell on earth, run by Death Santis, Trump Jr., as they like to call him, Florida men run amok, why are you here? Go back to Canada. If you like all of the rules and the lockdowns, and you know what part of this story really irks me is he says, I'd like to find a middle ground between the individualism in Florida and, you know, the overbearing rules in Canada. No, that's kind of the whole thing. There isn't a middle ground. Have you figured that out yet? That's something that the last 2 years have taught me. It's really tricky to find a middle ground. Well, you either have freedom or you don't have freedom. That's kind of how the cookie crumbles.
And I was talking to somebody about that because, you know, Aaron Rodgers lost this weekend, so everybody was rejoicing. Oh, the jokes, you know, the Packers are vaccinated from the playoffs, blah, 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 and all that. And I really was talking to somebody, I was like, I really thought that maybe, you know, maybe because people were afraid of COVID, that it really kind of turned people into these monsters that just out of fear, dislike people who weren't like they were or didn't think the way they did or didn't like the same policies that they liked, like this guy. But I really think that it was always there, and this just became an excuse for people to, it became like permission for people to be jerks to each other.
You know what's weird that you should say this, and this is going to seem totally off topic, but whatever, you know, it's Monday. We're starting off strong here. I was thinking about that because this woke generation, you know, they're so kind. They care so much. They care so much about universal health care and free college and all these things. But the second that they know you have a different opinion than them, the tolerant left becomes very intolerant, which is what Jared was just pointing out. Like, they will dance on your grave if you die of COVID and didn't get the vaccine. And they think that they're on the right side of this. Because celebrating someone else's death because they have different political beliefs than you is definitely the right way to go about things. Probably not. But the reason I was thinking about it over the weekend is actually kind of different. You know this whole Free Britney movement? So this whole Free Britney movement happens, right? And because of the movement, everyone gets mad at her sister, Jamie Lynn, because Jamie wasn't supportive of her or whatever. And then it was like, because they thought the Free Britney movement was such a righteous cause, they didn't have to be nice to Jamie Lynn. So I'm reading the comments on Instagram and stuff of some of the interviews that this young woman has done about her sister, and they're just tearing her apart. Her looks, everything about her being so vicious. And I thought, these are the same people who lecture us on using the right pronouns and being kind and being accepting. And just because they think one cause is so above and beyond everything else, they will say the ends justify the means, and they'll tear anyone down in the pursuit of that cause. And I know that it's kind of a strange example, but it really, it ties into what you're saying, because, okay, we have to be nice to everyone. You know, all of these liberal politicians care so much more. They have moral superiority over us. They have the moral high ground. And if you disagree, they will call you anything under the sun. They'll be so mean to you. We saw it with Kristen Sinema. She's a part of the LGBTQ community. She's a woman. She's a Democrat. And just because she went against them, they will condone harassment of her in bathrooms. Rob Reich says that Democrats should backhand her. Show her the back of their hands. I think Trump gave these people on the left this idea that as long as you're fighting the right cause, and I'm using air quotes, that you can be as vicious and mean and manipulative and heartless as you want to be, because the ends justify the means and you're on the right side. So everything else, you know, too bad. It's collateral damage. And it's really sick. All right. Now, we got that off our chest here. We talked about COVID. We talked about Free Britney. I mean, what more can we do? It's time for Journalism in the News.
And now, news.
Very fake news.
I see a lot of excellent journalism being done.
Give me the press.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
How can you ask a question when you don't know the press?
He said that journalists make up stories and make up sources.
As a journalist, I don't really like being the story here.
Very fake news.
And many of your compatriots had to change the reporting, and they had to apologize, and they had to correct.
This is a golden age of journalism in a lot of ways.
Mr. Biden, Mr. Biden, what flavor did you get?
News.
All right, so before we get to the Brian Stelter part of Journalism in the News, this is like our version of reliable sources. Unreliable sources is what we'll call it. But before we even get to that,
like a gender neutral potato head.
I have to play this cut by Margaret Brennan from Face the Nation. She was interviewing a panel of Americans and asking them how they thought it was going under compassionate, ice cream loving, aviator wearing Joe Biden. And let's listen to the results. Cut three.
During the course of the pandemic, we've been listening to Americans through Zoom to get their thoughts on COVID, the economy, and how the government is handling it all. On Friday, we checked back in with six of them.
Who feels like we are in a better place now than we were a year ago? Show of hands. No one believes we're in a better spot now.
Bueller. No one believes we're in a better spot. And you know who had a really good cut was this guy. Hold on, let me get his name right here. Scott Jennings. He was on CNN, and he gave this rant about Joe Biden. And we talk a lot about how Joe Biden did not have a mandate from America to go this far left. And he said the mandate was simply replace Donald Trump and don't do anything drastic or stupid. And yet everything about this agenda is extremely drastic. And he's been angrier than I think people expected. And Jennings goes on to say, you look at the issues. We built 5 years of coverage on Trump out of Russia, COVID, and democracy. So those three things, Russia, COVID, and democracy. The president in his press conference invites Russia to invade the Ukraine. We have more COVID deaths under Biden than Trump. And now we have the president and the vice president questioning the legitimacy of the 2022 election. Are we any better off on these issues that we crucified Trump over? Of course, the answer is no, we are not. We are worse off. But don't tell that to anyone in the mainstream media. They just can't believe it. They're shocked. All right. Now, the other part of this that I did want to hit on here is that Brian Stelter went to a school. And he was there to teach the children.
Didn't bring any producers with him, just saying.
He probably did, though. That's what I'm worried about. I cannot believe that they thought this was going to go well. I'm guessing they got ratioed. I only have a few of the tweets to show for it. But Brian Stelter goes to this school to teach children about misinformation. Before we make fun of it, can we play a little bit of sound?
Barbara King wants to arm this 8th grade class.
All right, so today's topic is misinformation.
With the tools they will need in a world of information saturation.
We're going to learn to identify the very...
Sorry. I'm sorry. I interrupted that. That was a snort. I'm sorry. When he does his Leslie Stahl voice, his serious voice, to tell them what they will need to arm them. And let's be honest. Like, CNN is going to teach these kids how to look out for misinformation. Is this one of those things like you can go on CNN? Give them
the number of your channel.
Yeah, and then you guys can just watch CNN, and this is the example. The lack of self-awareness is, I get in trouble for saying this word a lot, but I'm saying it today. One time, I'm using my one breathtaking of the day. It's breathtaking. Let's play. I promise I'm not going to laugh anymore.
Types of misinformation.
And there is a lot to learn.
They're called satire, false context, imposter content, manipulated content, and fabricated content.
Just imagine trying to make sense of all of this as a teenager.
All right, I did it. I didn't snore at all. Play another one.
As the web becomes even more of a wild west every day, the students here at PS 207 in Queens, New York, know that they need these lessons.
A lot of students have social media, and if they're looking at stuff that is like wrong and just telling everyone that it's right, and they're just giving everyone false information.
King began teaching media literacy 7 years ago.
Why the initial impulse to teach about this?
I feel it's a skill that my students really need. There's too much misinformation around us in the world, and I want to give them some tools to make sense of what they're seeing.
How amazing would it be if she just turned to Brian Stelter and said, well, I don't have to tell you. You've produced so much of it yourself.
They were both masked talking to each other, by the way.
Of course.
You couldn't hear it in the cut.
Of course they were. Cloth masks?
Yes, those blue surgical masks that do nothing.
Oh, perfect. Facial decoration. Love to see it. All right, play another one. I just want to see how many.
She uses curriculum from the News Literacy Project, a nonpartisan education nonprofit. Founder Alan Miller says these lessons are now used by more than 37,000 educators.
What do I mean by...
All right, hold on. Let's play the first one. Nothing had the effect of the first one. That one was too good.
Barbara King wants to arm this eighth grade class.
All right, so today's topic is misinformation.
With the tools they will need. In a world of information saturation.
We're going to learn to...
Oh, man, Stelter. So here are some of the replies, okay? These are A-plus stuff.
And this sound cut.
It's an infamous fake.
He was talking about the kids looking at a picture of a shark on the highway during a flood. So just, that was... Just had to make it aware that sharks are not on the highway. And it...
It's an infamous fake.
I thought he was talking about the Russian... Dossier, the steel dossier.
No.
Good. At least he's got the sharks covered.
That's verified and sourced by NPR.
Yeah, this is Russian disinformation. This shark was not on the highway. All right, so here are some of the replies I liked. The top rated reply to Brian Stelter tweeting out this piece about him visiting a school to teach about misinformation was by Ed Branham, who wrote, "How are you guys still allowed around school kids?" Lance wrote, on another he did a fake quote from Stelter. On another subject, kids, if a CNN producer ever reaches out to you, immediately tell your parents and call the police. Didn't you spread fake Russiagate conspiracy theory for 4 years straight? Oh. And actually, you know what? Before we wrap this
popsicles?
Up. Yeah, he should give a class on... It can be a combo class. CNN producers and the Lincoln Project. What they have in common. Do like a, what do they call those things? A Venn diagram. CNN producers, Lincoln Project co-founders. What the two have in common.
In all fairness, I think it was only a couple other shows on CNN. I don't think Brian Stelter's show has been pulled into the web of underage grooming. Just to be fair.
Yet.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just kidding. You're right. It's Tapper's producer and Chris Cuomo's producer, not Brian Stelter's producer. So there you have it.
It's an infamous fake.
Can we also play Stephanie Roll? Stephanie Roll was talking to Dr. Fauci, another great source of spotting misinformation. And let's hear what she had to say.
Since I have been spending a considerable amount of time trying to propagate public health principles of why it's important for the protection of the individual, of their family, and of society to get vaccinated. For that reason, I've been villainized. So it doesn't feel good, but it's just a fact of life of where we are in society right now, where disinformation then misinformation tends to rule in many respects.
Does any of this make you want to leave your post, leave your job? What does your family say?
Well, obviously it's very stressful on my family, my wife and my children, the continual attacks and the ad hominems that are related to nothing but pushing back on the public health principles that I talk about. But this is too important. This is the kind of thing that I've devoted my entire career, certainly over the last 40 plus years, in public health, science, and medicine. And we are in a crisis right now, and there's no chance I'm going to walk away from this. This is something that's too important.
They'll have to drag me out in handcuffs.
Dr. Fauci, give me that ouchie.
What a narcissist he is. By the way, did you see his office?
Yeah, the pictures of himself.
Yeah, I'm not one to talk. I mean, there's a big picture of me here, too. But
there is.
I'm also not telling people to get vaccinated and, you know.
But that was put up by the company. You didn't print a picture of yourself to put in your office with other pictures of yourself while you're watching a documentary of yourself on the computer monitor.
Yeah, he, you know, it's funny because I keep saying how we're all sick of Fauci, but he can't get enough of himself. He has not reached his Fauci threshold, which most of us reached within the first month of COVID. Most of us were set on Fauci after the first month.
Well, he's got to jump to reach the threshold.
Boom! He got it in, people! He got it in.
It's the small things.
Jared, I'm going to have to bring Brian Stelter in here and teach you a little bit about misinformation.
It's an infamous fake.
That's going to be a sound cut from now on the show. It's just too good. 844-500-4242. We'll be back with Howie Carr. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Joining me now is Howie Carr. Howie, thanks so much for coming on the show. What do you got planned for today?
I think we'll talk about the situation in Ukraine and compare it to their. They're so concerned about the Ukrainian border, but they're not concerned about the southern border. I just don't understand it. I'd like to see some polling on this these concerns of the American people, Grace, wouldn't you? I wonder why they're not polling on this. What's more important, the Ukrainian border or the southern border?
Or Joe Biden's likability? That's what they want to pull on. Howie, but you bring up a good point, and something I hadn't really thought of was Joe Biden's whole mantra when he was pulling us out of Afghanistan was, you know, there's no reason for American lives to be lost there. But now there seems to be this shift as they try to prepare people for sending troops into the Ukraine. It's such a double standard.
Right. I was just on Newsmax and I pointed out this story that, you know, like this comes out a few days after the Department of Homeland Security admits that an illegal alien, an invader, can come into the country and uses his identification if he doesn't have a driver's license or a passport, a warrant for arrest, an arrest warrant.
Howie Carr's got all of this coming up next. He's going to be on fire. It's Monday. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back tomorrow, everybody.